I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone. 30 years ago, my friends and I spent the night at a cabin. We found the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead. Certain passages were recited. It awoke something in the woods. Something evil. I was the only one to escape. But now, the evil has found me.
Hello and welcome to the Ash vs. Evil Dead podcast. This is the first episode of the Ash vs. Evil Dead podcast. I'm very excited. I'm one of your hosts, JP, podcasting out of southwestern Pennsylvania. And joining me today is Kyle Thomas, the host of the X-Files podcast. And he's podcasting out of South Carolina. What's up, buddy?
What is up? Yeah, I'm podcasting out of upstate South Carolina, and specifically Anderson, South Carolina, which is a little town next to Clemson, if anybody's a football fan. But this is the first episode, JP. I'm pretty stoked on this. If you guys are like big fans of Evil Dead in general, I hope you guys are stoked as well. This is the new series, Sam Raimi's series of the Evil Dead. This is the new Ash versus Evil Dead. So pretty stoked. I mean, what do you think, JP?
Yeah, you know, I am as well. This is a show that I've been interested in. It did debut in October 31st of 2015. I actually didn't catch it until this week. This was the first week that I actually watched it. And I had the idea of doing this podcast when it aired, but unfortunately I had some stuff going on elsewhere, so I just decided to put it off. And, you know, I brought it up to you, like, if you would be interested in doing it. And we both eventually decided that since it's only 10 episodes, I doubt that it'd be that much of a commitment. Just, you know, 10 episodes, pretty short. This show airs on Stars, and it is the first episode. The pilot episode is a little bit longer, but it is sort of your 20 minute to a half hour long show. So I'm sure this podcast won't run on too long. You know, a few things that you guys might not know about us if you haven't listened to us before. We have multiple podcasts at this point. I host I'm a co-host on the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast. I also co-host the X-Files podcast with Kyle, and I have a YouTube channel, Double Shot J. Kyle, do you have anything that you want to plug in here real quick?
Yeah, I got a YouTube channel as well. It's at The Horror File. To kind of give you, I know this first episode may be a little bit longer, just kind of plugging things, but my channel kind of consists of some reviews. I do a lot of horror movie reviews. I do a lot of just reviews in general. Some of the reviews I do aren't really horror. I have a couple of different series on my channel. I do a video nasty series. I do a disturbing movies series. Just several different series based around different things. And I know JP does a lot of similar things on his channel over at his channel. You have some MMA reviews and things of that nature, correct?
Yes, I actually cover some MMA over on my channel. I want to cover a little bit more, but it's just here and there. So, Kyle, this thing that we're doing here, just so to catch everybody up, basically, yeah. We're going to be just kind of recapping, reviewing, not really full breakdowns, but there absolutely will be spoilers. We will spoil everything in the TV series because you can't really talk about, say, episode 3 without talking about the ending of episode 2 or whatever. So there will be spoilers. Yeah. We encourage people to see the show before actually listening to us, but if you don't want to, then whatever. And I think that this show is going to be pretty short. We're just going to give our opinions on each episode. And eventually, after this series wraps up, we plan on covering the 4 Evil Dead movies in the off season, and then coming back when the Ash vs. Evil Dead season 2 premieres, because it actually has been greenlit quite early. I think just after the first premiere episode, they had greenlit a second season. So we will be back, and the show will be back as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's really hard to kind of do a podcast on a show that the episodes are 20 minutes long. I mean, not hard to do the podcast, but hard to not spoil anything. I mean, you got a 20-minute show, things are going to get spoiled. And honestly, hopefully you guys are following along, either haven't seen the episodes, you're going to follow along with us, or, you know, hell, maybe you've already watched episodes and you want our opinions on it. We definitely want to let you know. So encourage you guys to either follow along either way, or just let us know. You know, let us know what you think about the episodes. We will be posting these on each of our YouTube pages, as well as I believe, JP, we're going to be getting an iTunes feed for this possibly.
Yeah, most likely we'll have an iTunes feed. I'll probably talk to Jason over at horrorphilia.com and see if he wants to host a show, and if not, we'll put it on the 22 Shots of Modes and Horror website, which is 22shotsofmodesandhorror.com. So, Kyle, I got a question for you, actually, because I have never been the mega Evil Dead fan that a lot of horror fans are. They seem there's a lot of camps that are either purist Halloween fans, that's their favorite horror movie. It seems like there's a ton of people just love Halloween. And then there's a ton of people that love Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2 as their favorite horror movie. And I feel like it's one of the movies that has like the biggest fan base in terms of like all the cult horror films. Like, people love this series. So were you a big fan of the Evil Dead series?
I was a fan. I wasn't like the hugest fan of the Evil Dead series. I love the Evil Dead movies. I do like all of them. But I never really was. I think that I do own. It's kind of funny. I do own all of these movies, other than the remake. I own all three of them on VHS still. I honestly don't even own these movies on. Well, I tell you about. I own Evil Dead 2 on DVD. I don't own the other two on DVD. I know that everybody owns Army of Darkness. I actually don't. I own it on VHS. But I was never the hugest fan of Evil Dead. I always loved the first movie for its atmosphere. I loved the second movie as well. But I was just kind of one of those people that were like, you know, Evil Dead's cool. You know, I like it. It's not bad. But I was never like a huge like fanboy of it, I guess. I think one of my favorite actors is Bruce Campbell. I do love Bruce Campbell. I like him in a lot of things. But I do think the Evil Dead movies are pretty cool. I just never really was a huge, huge fanboy on them, I guess.
Okay, so it seems like we're both coming from the camp where, like, yeah, we're horror fans and we like Evil Dead, but they weren't our favorite movies or anything like that. I think the height of my Evil Dead excitement was when I picked up the VHS way back in the day. This was like in the 90s, and this guy who was a little shady brought a box of VHS tapes up to my house and was like, $20 and you can have them all. And there was stuff in there like the four Omen films, the two Dr. Fibes films. They were all horror films. And I mean, there was just probably 30 VHS in there that I got for $20 back in the day. And they had Evil Dead 2 in there. And it was the one with the just skull cover. And I remember watching it and thinking that it was so cool, dude. I remember like just loving it. Like, this is such a – I've not seen anything like this. And I thought it was scary, and I didn't realize it was funny until years later. And then eventually I grabbed the first one on DVD, and I loved that one as well. Army of Darkness, I didn't even know was an Evil Dead sequel, and I bought it on VHS at a Walmart years later after I had these the second film on VHS. And I was like, this guy looks exactly like the guy in Evil Dead. He has the chainsaw and everything. And I thought it was hilarious, but I didn't realize it was the same movie until I started watching it. And I was like, wait a minute. This is the same thing. It's called Army of Dark. It's not called Evil Dead 3. And it was funny. So I didn't even see the first Evil Dead. I went 2-3-1, which is a weird way to go. But since then, I've actually not loved Army of Darkness over the years. The comedy, it's way too slapsticky for me, but I feel like this show might actually make me appreciate that a little bit more when we get into the show, kind of talk about my feelings towards the comedy. But I actually own the Evil Dead multiple ways. I own I still have that Evil Dead 2 VHS that I had when I was a kid. I have all three films, Army of Darkness, the Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 on DVD, and then I own Evil Dead 2, the remake, and Army of Darkness on Blu-ray. So I actually have a few editions of the Evil Dead for not being such a big fan. You know, what's your favorite out of the three?
Out of the three, my favorite is the first one. I know a lot of people will probably disagree with me because I know the big cult following is from the second one, from what I've gathered.
That's true.
I've always really liked the first movie. I don't know what it is about it. I think it's because like I saw the first movie way before I saw the second one and the third one. It was like, you know, I watched the first movie several times before I even saw the second and third one. And I think it was like one of those ones that just stuck in my mind. Like, I remember like the how gross the pencil scene was where she like stabs a dude in the ankle with a pencil, and how cool it was to see that that pretty much zombie or whatever you want to call it, that that person that was possessed that's in the cellar that's kind of trying to get out. I don't know. A lot of things about the first movie just kind of, you know, just remind me of, you know, back in the day, you know, back in the day of horror, me watching horror. I don't know.
You're not alone, man, because honestly, Moods his favorite is Evil Dead 1, and mine as well. So you're actually not alone, but you are correct that most people do cite the second film as being their favorite, and rarely you hear somebody cite the third film as being their favorite, but it's always the first two and mostly the second one. But I actually like the first one a little bit more, and I think it's because it's a horror film. It's not a comedy. That first one is a horror film.
It's a straight horror film, and I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to get some hate. I have not seen the second Evil Dead in a long time. Like, it's been like years and years and years and years. And I remember the first time I've only seen the second Evil Dead movie maybe two or three times, if even. And I don't really remember it that well because it was so long ago. But I remember the first couple times I watched it, I didn't even really like the second movie. I know a lot of people like it, but from what I remember, I didn't like it at the time. I may like it now that, you know, that it's been out, obviously, and I haven't seen it in so long. Maybe I'll watch it and have a different opinion. But I just remember not really caring for the second movie that much. But, you know, who knows? I haven't watched it. I kind of want to save it for us to do that, you know, our movie reviews of it.
Yeah, which we will be doing in the off season after we cover these 10 episodes sometime in the summer, I take it. We'll probably cover the Evil Dead trilogy plus the remake. Now, what was your thoughts on the remake, just briefly? Did you like it, didn't like it?
I liked it. It wasn't I didn't like rave about it or anything, but I did like it. I thought it was a pretty good, like, good remake. It didn't really stick too much to it stuck to the basic storyline of the first one as far as, like, you know, the cabin, the lore. But it wasn't like a full on I didn't feel like it was a full on remake. I mean,
yeah,
obviously
they dropped the Ash character, stuff like that. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I find myself defending that film a lot. I know that there are, like, big major issues that people have with it that I have a huge issue with it as well. I'm sure we'll talk about that eventually. I'll be excited to actually cover those four films. But yeah, man, the Ash versus the Evil Dead, a TV series. I never thought this would have happened. I would have thought Ash versus Freddy versus Jason would have happened way before this, because that was something that was thrown out years ago. And to see them remake the series, find all this new interest in the Evil Dead, and to then go and say, well, we might do another Evil Dead movie, and then change it, like, horror is, like, living and thriving on TV right now, so they're like, let's just make a horror TV show. And they did, and I'm so surprised to see that still. It still kind of surprises me that this exists. But it does. And with that said, how about we get into the first episode, Kyle?
Yeah, let's do it. This is actually going to be episode one, obviously, season one, episode one. The title of this episode is called El Jefe. This episode was directed by Sam Raimi, who obviously, if you guys don't know who that he is, if I don't know if you follow Evil Dead or not, he created the Evil Dead. He was the director of the first one, and I believe he wrote the first movie as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and he was just a young kid who was... you know, just ahead of the game, man. I mean, some of those some of that camera work in the first Evil Dead movie, 1980, I believe they started filming in like 79, it is truly incredible. And his career really skyrocketed when he got Spider-Man, and, you know, he did the Oz the Great and Powerful. He's a big timer now, and it's good to see people go out of horror but then always find their way back. Wish that would happen with Peter Jackson.
Oh, dude, Peter Jackson. Oh, my God. I love everything old school Peter Jackson is like my shit. So, but yeah, and it's also written by Sam Raimi. He wrote this episode. Ivan Raimi, which I'm assuming is a brother of his.
Yeah, that's his brother.
So he has like two other brothers that do horror stuff.
Yeah, he has Ted Raimi as his brother as well.
Yeah, and Tom Spezialy. I'm not really sure who he is. But they all three wrote this episode. I'm assuming it was a group effort because obviously they want the pilot to be, you know, a good pilot so people will watch. Mm-hmm. The air date for this episode was not very long ago. It was October 31st of 2015, and it had 0.437 million viewers. So
yeah, which we don't know if that's high or low for a network like Starz. I assume it's pretty solid, but I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, that's 437,000 you know, people. I mean, it seems pretty high for, I mean, Starz is a paid network, so you have to pay to have Starz. So I would assume that's somewhat high, but at the same time, you could probably look up like Game of Thrones first episode and be like, oh, wow, that's, you know, because HBO was a paid network too. So I don't know for Starz, like you said, I don't know really much about Starz.
Yeah, we probably have to do some research and look into that and see what that like average for a TV show would be at a time slot that late at night. I think it was like midnight when they premiered it. And, you know, just how much traffic that network really gets. But it had to be somewhat successful, as it did get very positive reviews, both critically and fandom wise. And it also did get renewed after just the next day after the premiere. So, I mean, I'm assuming it did pretty well.
I think a lot of people know who Bruce Campbell is now. I mean, he was kind of like a B-rate actor, like a no name back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, he's done some TV stuff, and I think he's done like Law and Order or something. Like, I know he kind of funneled into the mainstream a little bit. He was like, in the Spider-Man's cameos and stuff.
You can look at him and just tell who he is. Like, a lot of people could just see his face and be like, oh, I know who that dude. Even if they don't know his name, they're like, oh, I've seen that guy before. You know what I mean? He's just one of those people. He has a very familiar face as well. But yeah, do you want to go ahead and get into the synopsis a little bit of the episode?
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to say is the way that this episode opens is it looks like Ash is gearing up. Like, in just seeing that, you're like, whoa, whoa. And then it turns out that he's putting on, I don't know what those things are called. They, like, squeeze your stomach to make you, like, skinnier.
It's a corset.
A corset, yeah. So he's living in his trailer, and he's just, you know, kind of old now, and he looks a little cheesy, maybe a little sleazy, kind of just didn't really go to the, you know, become a lawyer after the Evil Dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, he didn't really, yeah, he's just kind of he's living in like this like trailer or like, I don't know, it's not a trailer, it's like a camper.
It's a mobile home.
I think it's actually a camper, though.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's a camper.
Well, that's still
like
a mobile home.
Well, yeah, true. It's like hooked to the back of like another car, like his car.
Like, yeah, it's like in a trailer park or something like that. But so he decides to go out to the bar, and he's still missing his arm, or his hand, rather. And there he sees a lady in which he tells this like schlocky-ass story where he saved a kid or something. That's how he lost his hand. And the next thing you know, he's banging her in the bathroom, which I thought was interesting because The Evil Dead wasn't really – there wasn't a lot of sex in The Evil Dead series.
Yeah, there really wasn't.
And this is like hardcore, just like, you know, banging her.
There was some in the first movie, but like the second and the third movie, from what I remember, there wasn't really. And it's something I will say before we kind of go any further. You can kind of tell within the first like 10 minutes of this episode, well, not even the first 10, maybe the first five.
Maybe the first two.
Yeah, it's really geared toward like Evil Dead 2 and 3 fans, more toward like the comedy aspect of Evil Dead. It's not it's got horror elements to it, but it's like a horror comedy TV show basically.
Yeah, it's 100% comedy with horror elements for sure. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
And you know, right away he's like banging this girl, and then there's a flash of her in the mirror that's like straight deadite. And I just love the moment where he's like, "Wow, I thought I saw something that I haven't seen in 30 years or something," you know? And I was like, okay,
yeah.
So Ash is like super old. It's obviously that he hasn't had any deadite or Evil Dead problems in years. And I like that there's that callback to the original series that it like, hey, I've been just living my life sleazily the past 30 years and everything's fine. And that's so typical of Ash too.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, and he kind of shook it off. Like a lot of the times with Bruce Campbell and Ash in general, the character Ash, whenever he like realizes something, it's still kind of comedic because he kind of like brushed it off and then he made a joke about it. And then like he kind of like cuts out and he goes back to his, you know, camper. So he doesn't really dwell on it, but he kind of makes a joke about it. And then he's like, hey, I guess we could finish real quick. And then he goes back and like starts having sex with her again.
Yeah,
it's pretty
super awkward and funny looking too, because like they don't show much skin or it's not, you can't even tell that Ash would have his penis out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just funny.
Dick
he just
JP.
Goes right back in there. Oh man.
But it's funny to see because he has obviously his hands cut off and he's got like fucking wood hand and he's like slapping her ass with a wood hand. It's pretty fucking funny. But yeah, it kind of cuts out at this point. He goes back to his camper and he like runs. He's trying to find the Book of the Dead.
Necronomicon.
Yeah. So he obviously has it in one of his in his camper. It's kind of locked away. He picks it up and he's like, oh, you know, he's kind of relieved to see it. You know, after seeing that kind of flashback to that, you know, that deadite, and all of a sudden he kind of pulls out like a little baggie and it's got weed in it.
And then he remembers like, having this like hazy night where he's with a young woman, and this woman had him read her some French poetry, which was reciting the words from the Necronomicon. And you know, so he did this to himself and he's like, fuck.
Like, shit, what the hell did I summon? And then it kind of cuts off and obviously shows the intro to the show.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I believe it shows the two police officers at that point kind of investigating some strange occurrences that are happening at this, like, mansion.
Yeah, spooky old house.
Spooky old house. And this is Amanda Fisher, which is the one police officer. She's obviously a woman. And then her partner is with her. And not to get too far, you know, delve too far into what's going on in the house, because there's really not a whole lot of detail of what happens. They go into the house, into this mansion. There's a lot of strange noises. And then all of a sudden, the partner, which is the male partner, he kind of starts shooting. And he ends up getting impaled on like a deer horn or something that's hanging up in the house.
Yeah, just a mounted deer head.
Mounted deer horn. All of a sudden there's like a bunch of deadites that are just kind of surrounding Amanda Fisher. She's shooting at them. Partner becomes a deadite and tries to kill her. Then
But she, you know, it has one of those classic moments where normally how the deadites kind of can transform and do things and get inside your head. He like transforms into his normal self and he's like, please, you know, don't kill me or whatever. And she's not buying it. She caps him. And stuff like that. We get the sense that Amanda might be an important character as the series goes along. We are, you know, back with Ash. He goes to work, which sadly was not the S-Mart. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's like some like department, like a electronics store.
It's called Value Stop. But back in the Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, you know, Ash had that famous line, shop smart, shop S-Mart, because he was a S-Mart employee. And yep. I don't know what happened with that. I don't know if there's like an actual S-Mart now or there was a S-Mart and they couldn't get the line to that. But I was extremely disappointed in that.
I was kind of disappointed with that, too. And the place that he's working in kind of looks like a Sears or like a Best Buy or something. There's like no groceries. Obviously, it was a grocery store, and they didn't even try to make it like similar to S-Mart at all. It was just like a weird, like kind of electronic, like appliance store kind of deal. And this is where this scene is where you're first introduced to Pablo, which is the basically secondary main character, which becomes Ash's like kind of like best friend.
Yeah, he's kind of like his side. I think he's kind of gonna go as like the sidekick role.
Yeah, he's kind of like a sidekick, and honestly, you want to know who he reminds me of?
Who?
He perfectly reminds me of this character. Does he not like look like a Spanish version of Kramer from like Seinfeld?
I never watched Seinfeld, so
look up a picture of Kramer.
I know what he looks like.
Yeah, he looks like fucking Kramer with that hair, but I don't know. That's just like what I was thinking the first time I saw him. Like, what is up with this guy's hair? It's like his hair's like eased up. It's really crazy.
So Pablo is one of those characters where he like really kind of looks up to Ash, you can tell, or like he respects him. And although like nobody else in the world probably respects Ash and probably thinks he's like kind of a waste, Pablo looks at him like he's cool, man. He's like the cooler older dude, and you know he makes the place fun. And you know, Ash is just sort of a slacker, really. He's a 50-year-old slacker.
Exactly. Yeah, Ash is kind of like this kind of like guy that you would kind of guess that he'd be living in his like mom's basement or something, not really doing anything with himself. But
there's a funny scene when he actually asks the boss if he can get his check a little early.
Oh yeah,
and his boss isn't having it at all. And then he's like, "Hey, by the way, take those light bulbs out back and don't break them." And of course, Ash just drops. They just start dripping out, and it's just like. And I honestly thought that was funny, man. And that was about the point where I was like, you know what, man? At first, I was a little worried about this series when I saw the trailer. I was like, dude, I wish they would have just made a horror series, but this was the right call. I was wrong. This is a really funny show. And even though I would appreciate if it was more of like a horror show, because I love horror straight up, this is the right way to do this show. It really is funny. And I got to say, right away, seeing Ash back in action, picking up 30 years later, however long it's been since the last Evil Dead, and getting right into that character, I loved that, dude. I really did. And it brought back – it was like very nostalgic for me. And just to see Ash still being Ash, maybe granted he's a little bit even more over the top now. Maybe not than Army of Darkness, but he definitely is very comedic. I still like it, dude.
Yeah, I like it too. I like the way that they are like kind of, you know, they're not really straying away from anything to do with his character, and I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And like his sense of humor, like everything to him is like, you know, even with serious situations, you could tell it's like he's joking around like with a lot of things.
Yeah, he's kind of a bonehead still, and you know, I love that Ash always like looks out for number one, but still gets like roped into doing these other things.
Yeah, exactly. And you actually
like begrudgingly.
Yeah, he's begrudgingly pulled into everything. So, and something else I like too that I wanted to mention is like he's driving the same car from the first movie.
Yeah,
like,
you
I
have
love
to have that.
That
car, man.
Dude, that car's awesome. Like, I wish I had one of those cars just for that purpose. So, and you're actually also, we talked about you being introduced to Pablo, which is kind of like a sidekick. You're also introduced to Kelly, which is a chick that Pablo has like a kind of a love interest with in the show that you kind of notice. He works with her, and he's always had this kind of like thing
He was her neighbor, like her next door, or her, yeah. Like lived in the same apartment, so he got her this job. And of course, Ash is like kind of stunned by her, and he tries to put the moves on her like he does to everybody, and she's just not having it at all, even though she's like 30 years younger than him.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point, kind of the show, they go out to the back of the warehouse, and then you start seeing the Necronomicon, you know, Deadite kind of stuff kind of happening, where you know you see like a little doll that gets possessed, and then they start, you know, Ash walks out on the job. He just leaves the job, yeah. And then you see there's like clouds rolling in that kind of looks like Necronomicon stuff.
Yeah, the doll scene to me was a little much. Like, I did feel like it was getting in that slapsticky area that Army of Darkness was, which I didn't like. I'm cool with the comedy, but I really don't like the slapstick.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand that. I mean, that scene was kind of weird, and that's kind of where we were getting into. I guess, do you want to start talking about a little bit of the CGI? I don't know if you wanted to get into that or not.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
So, I mean, there's a lot of I mean, I don't think there's any practical effects in this show at all. Like, I think pretty much everything to do with this show that has anything to do with blood or gore or, like, you know, the little doll scene where it shows the doll running up to him and grabbing him on the face, it's all CGI. And it's
there definitely is practicals in this show, but it seems like all of the practicals are laced with CGI, which is kind of like the new school way of doing things, where you don't just do pure CGI, you don't do pure practical, you do a mixture of both.
There obviously is, like, fake blood on, like, you know, on the characters and stuff, but at the same time, like, there's a scene I remember specifically, this scene where the police officer shoots her partner in the head, and his head kind of like explodes, and it's all like literally like CGI, and it's not, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, it's not great CGI at all. Like, it's pretty like X-Files-y CGI. It's not horrible, but it's not like, you know, I don't know. The first time I saw it, I was like,
it's not ideal. I'm with you on that. I mean, I always prefer practical, but I kind of expected that going into this show, to be honest.
I think you can kind of tell the budget's sort of low at the beginning of the show because they're trying to see where it's going to go, but obviously it's picking up, so I don't know. I just wanted to kind of hint at that. Yeah, I'd like some comments on that. You know, if you guys want to leave comments and let me know what you guys think about that, that'd be cool. So
basically, we also find out that Kelly, or is her name Kelly? Kelly? Her mother Kelly. Is dead, and Ash kind of feels like a jerk about that. Because he kind of comments on, you know, makes a joke about something, and you find out her mother's dead or whatever. But so then you find out that Kelly is kind of FaceTiming with her father, and her mother shows up. So you know something's randomly off there. And pretty much the whole world is like going full-blown like Army of Darkness style at this point, where there's just Deadites popping up everywhere. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, Ash is pretty much caught in a shitload of fuck right now.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you kind of find out a little bit of backstory between these characters, the Kelly story, and Kelly does not like Ash at all. You could tell Pablo and her actually go back to Ash's kind of camper, because Ash kind of, obviously, he quit his job. He went back to the camper to kind of take care of this Deadite situation. This is a funny scene, actually, that I remember, where he takes out his dentures in front of them.
Because the doll, like, knocked one of them out, one of his teeth out.
Yeah, and, like, he, like, takes out, like, his fake teeth, which obviously Bruce Campbell doesn't have fake teeth, but in the show it shows that he has fake teeth, and he takes them out, and it's just kind of a funny scene, kind of that slapstick kind of comedy. And they're in the camper, and in Bruce Campbell, or in Ash's camper, and then all of a sudden they hear, like, all the Deadites outside. Yes. They start kind of coming for the camper, and, you know, they're actually kind of reaching in the windows and, like, knocking on the camper, trying to get to, you know, all the characters to kill them, because that's their purpose. So
that's their MO.
Yeah, that's their MO. And this is actually this scene itself is really cool, because there is a good bit of blood in the scene where, like, you know, they start cutting off the Deadites, like, arms and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
well, there's one thing that I thought was done really well, because the whole time you're wondering, like, where's Ash's chainsaw? Where is it? Where's the chainsaw? I know it's coming out. It's got to be somewhere. And then you see a curtain, and you see the silhouette of the chainsaw, and anybody who's even a slight Evil Dead fan or an Ash fan, you know the chainsaw is badass, and you know that's when Ash is at his most badass, and you're just like, oh yeah. And he opens the curtain, and there's a deadite behind it. So then there's a big fight, and he eventually gets the chainsaw in like this slow-mo scene. And by the end of it, he's just full-blown Ash mode, and you just want to clap because that's what you came to see, Ash kicking ass. I mean, I think one of the coolest things about the Ash character, why he's so memorable, is his swag. He has good lines. He has just this personality about him where, you know, good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. You know, he just has this swag to him where he's just a badass when he goes full-blown Ash mode. And by the end of it, his last line was perfect for the episode. And, you know, everybody knew it was coming. They look at him and they're like, you know, how does it feel? And he's like, groovy. And you just know that every fan in the world knew that that line was coming. And that's kind of the end of the episode. And I got to say, man, like, I was pretty impressed with this episode. Was you?
Yeah, I really was. Like, I remember when I watched this episode, it was like the day after it came out, I want to say. And I was like, really, like, I was like, dude, that's pretty cool. Like, I mean, the practical effects as far as like the Deadites, how like they dressed up and did the makeup and stuff of the characters, like the Deadite characters. I thought that was really cool. And something you forgot to mention is it actually shows him get his boomstick as well, which was another memorable, you know, weapon that he had, which was really cool.
The boomstick is awesome.
He like steps on like the floor and it like pops out and then he like puts it behind him, shoots that character. I thought it was really cool. So, but yeah, man, I really liked this episode. I thought it was a really good pilot for the show. And I think that's a lot of the reason why this episode was a lot of the reason why they probably picked up more episodes for it, because it was really cool. And it was directed by Sam Raimi. So, I mean, obviously they had to make it a big impression.
Yeah. And there was good shots in this film, in this TV show as well. Like classic Sam Raimi, like zooms and stuff. Just, you know, Sam Raimi's style.
Yeah, exactly. He has that specific kind of directorial style. You know, obviously you remember like the scenes of the woods whenever like the camera's going through the woods and stuff. You see that kind of stuff, you know, kind of going on in the episode. But yeah, my opinion, I thought it was great. I thought it was a pretty cool start to the series. The series seems to be picking up. I mean, from what I can tell, in viewers at least, you know, it looks like the second couple episodes kind of lost a few, but the newer episodes have gained more than the pilot. So
we will talk about that as well as we go forward. But I got to say, man, for the people who don't know kind of how we do this thing, you know, check out our X-Files podcast because it's kind of a good explanation on how we break these things down and what we do at the end. I gotta say, man, after watching this episode, I really just wanted to watch like more. I was just like, I don't even want to wait next week. I just want to watch another episode. So I'm in it, man. I'm in it. I'm curious to see where it goes. This was the only episode I watched. I'm gonna hold off and wait till next week when we record again and talk about another one then. But I'm in it, dude. I like it. So people that don't know, we do these tier things that we started recently on the X-Files podcast where we say, you know, is it a high tier, mid tier, or low tier episode? What would you say?
I would say this is I would definitely 100% agree this is a high tier episode. No doubt about it. I mean, this is the episode that you're introduced to everything. He even talks about the original movie and like what the Book of the Dead is, what the Necronomicon is. You're actually even, you know, it gets stars. It shows her for a minute, Lucy Lawless in this episode, which is obviously Xena Warrior Princess from back in the day. I think this episode just had everything right about it, and I think it's going to be a pivotal episode for this season. So I'm pretty stoked. You know, I think, you know, it's going to be really hard to beat this episode with the next episodes. But, you know, we'll see. You know, we will definitely see and find out.
Yeah, I also agree, man. This is a top tier episode for sure. I think that it had just enough in there for the fans of the series, you know, the callbacks with the car and the boomstick and the shotgun and the groovy line and, you know, just all the different things that Ash is known to do, his kind of boneheadedness and his begrudgingness. I think it was all there. I felt that they really didn't have a problem getting right back into character. I mean, think about it, dude. You stopped playing this character 30 years ago and just get in like and make it feel natural like you're still the same person. I thought it was great, and I honestly was a little hesitant on this show. I wasn't really expecting to like it that much because I'm not a huge comedy fan, and I wasn't sure. But even the trailer did look pretty good, and I'm so happy with it. I really think that Evil Dead fans are going to love it, and me being not the biggest Evil Dead fan, but is still a pretty decent Evil Dead fan, I love it. So this is definitely a top-tier episode.
Yeah, definitely agree. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, and I hope you guys stick around. Let us know what you thought. Give us some insight of, you know, what you like, what you didn't like. I'm definitely curious to hear, you know, some insight on these. And yeah, check us out. Check out JP. We're gonna post these on our YouTube channel, like I said before. Double Shot J is JP. I am the Horrorphile. And just yeah, definitely let us know what you guys think.
All right, so that about wraps it up, guys. Thanks for checking us out. You can check us out at all the places that I mentioned previously. You can find links for them down below. That is Kyle. I am JP. We'll see you guys next time as we watch episode 2 of Ash vs. the Evil Dead. Peace out.